Good morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Why don't you get a little closer to your microphone?
All right, I will do that.
Okay, good. And we're going to clear all the lines. If you want to call Teresa and ask her a question, a lawn or garden question, or send a text if that's easier, 651-461-9226. And I'm looking and hearing the forecast, Teresa, with 65 degrees or near it both today and tomorrow. And I was thinking, here I went ahead and shut off my outdoor faucets because, well, it's November.
The garden, the ground hasn't frozen.
I was just going to ask you that. So I have a feeling I'll be cranking them back on and soaking those shrubs and, get some deep water in there, right?
That's correct. Anytime the ground isn't frozen, the roots are still growing. So, we may have overnight freezes where it could crack the hose if it was filled with water. But you still need to think, how can I get water to my plants if we're not getting rain from nature or that snow that then melts nicely into the ground, into the soil? We have to keep that soil moist. Dry soil, once it freezes, that frost can go really, 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 really deep because there's not a lot of material in there to hold to slow down the cold. But if it's nice damp soil, the frost doesn't go down as deep because there's so much that has to absorb that coldness that the frost goes down a lot less deep. So you have a lot less plant damage, root damage just from that. Plus the plants need to go into winter with as much nutrients and moisture in the roots as they need so that they can come out of dormancy okay in the spring.
You know what we're going to do, Teresa? I think we may be having a little technical issues with either your computer or mic or whatever the case may be. It's pretty low level. So
does this sound any better?
Oh, yes. Now,
Okay.
Now you're right next door. Very good.
Okay. There's like 15 different choices I can choose on my computer. And it's like, okay, now I know which one works the best.
Okay. Now the next order of business is to put that little windscreen back on.
I'll put the little thing back on. There's nothing like live radio. There's nothing like live radio. Does that sound better for everybody?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now we've got the combination going.
Now we do. There's nothing like live radio. I love it. All right. Again, 651-461-9226. Now, is this warmer weather going to be confusing our shrubs and plants, et cetera? What do you think?
It probably confuses people more than the shrubs.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be such a short blast. It's only going to be a week or so. And a day or so, 5 days, doesn't really confuse them that much. They were more confused with our long, hot summer and then the cool down. And then they started to bloom again because they thought maybe it was spring again. It's just a little confusing when it goes on for weeks and weeks. But a quick little change probably won't confuse them much. It just confuses us.
Okay. Here's a little something kind of like a public service announcement that just came in via the text, Teresa. It says, good morning, Denny. Teresa, want to let you know that the U of M Extension Washington County Master Gardener Volunteers are hosting a garden market, quote, where nature, creativity, and sustainability meet. It's today from 10 to 2 at the Bayport Library in Bayport. Yeah, so great.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you for that.
So you have time to listen to Smart Garden,
yep.
And then you can get ready and go.
And you know what else you can do? Because I know you're a pet lover.
I'm a pet lover.
Yes. That we will be having a Ask the Vet show at 10 this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Our friend Dr. Gene Geske, who's been helping us out here on CCO over the years from time to time, especially with Steve Thompson. That's going to be in the 10 o'clock hour. So if you want to ask the vet a question, that's the time to do it. We'll talk
more about
it.
And that's the time to say, hey, should I be growing daylilies if I have dogs
or
things? What about those Easter lilies and my kitty cat? Both of those are no-nos, by the way.
I like the way you work that Smart Garden into the vet show. So that'll be at 10 o'clock. We'll remind. And don't forget to set your clocks back an hour, right?
Thank you. I was going to look up when that was happening.
That's tonight.
I've been out of touch lately. Good. I get to sleep longer. Oh, good.
Here's another question for you, Teresa. Can I cut back peonies?
Once once the peony has died to the ground or been hit by frost, go ahead and cut it back. You know, if you're going to get hit by frost in the next day or two, go ahead and cut it back. But you do want to clean up your peonies. You'll get rid of a lot of diseases that way. And clean that out with your bearded irises. I would do the same thing, just so you don't have some diseases and issues there. Other plants, once they get hit by frost, your perennials, you have an option of leaving them standing or cutting them back just a little and leaving some hollow stems for our overwintering native bees to handle, to hide in, or to lay their eggs in, or you can cut them down to the ground. If you can think of your plant, if it's still photosynthesizing, it's still bringing energy into the roots, and if you can, leave it up as long as you can.
All right, excellent. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number for your lawn and garden question for Teresa, 651-461-9226. Let's go to the phones, Teresa. Patty calling in this morning from St. Paul, I believe. Patty, thank you. What is your question for Teresa?
My question is, can I cut the dogwoods back?
If you need to, say you're going to take some of it for decoration for pots or anything like that, you can cut them back. Otherwise, it would be best if you can wait to cut back your shrubs until the ground has frozen and they've become dormant. It would be better to cut them back in the spring, but if you need to cut them back or you want to cut them back in late fall, early winter, wait till they've become totally dormant, they've lost all their leaves, the ground has frozen or nearly frozen, then you can go ahead and cut them back. Or you can put up protection from bunnies, because the bunnies love dogwood.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they love pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything, yeah, like some of the deer.
All right. Like the deer.
I'll tell you what, let us do. I know it's time for a break, so let's invite our listeners. You know, we tend to get busy. Teresa certainly knows this, too, and our regular listeners do as well. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, you can send it to us via text now or call and chat with Teresa, 651-461-9226. Again, don't forget, turn your clocks back 1 hour as you retire tonight. Still 47 degrees, heading for 65 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, we welcome and thank Master Gardener Teresa Rooney for helping our listeners out this morning, either by phone or by text, as usual. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. All right, Teresa, I'll tell you what, let's grab a phone call before we pick up more text messages. Jacqueline is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Jacqueline, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about raspberry bushes. They've been chewed down the past 2 winters by rabbits, and so this fall I want to fence them. I have a piece of 2-foot fencing, and I also have some 4-foot. Is 2-foot adequate to keep rabbits out of raspberries, or should I use the higher 4-foot?
Jacqueline, if you have deer, I would use the 4-foot. If you just have rabbits, 2-foot should work. And a little trick I learned from another gardener out there was, if we start to get a taller snow, just go around and stamp down right outside the fence so that the snowpack is now back down to, you know, 6 inches, 2 inches. Then the rabbits can't jump over. And then actually once the fencing, you know, everything's covered by snow and it gets up to 2 feet of snow, who knows how much we're going to get. It probably will be protected, or at least they'll only be going down, you know, anything that was above 2 feet. But if you really want to protect everything, 4 foot would be fantastic. 2 will work also.
Teresa, here's a similar question that came in via text. It says, we have burning bushes about 5 feet high that the rabbits like to munch on in the winter. They're too big to wrap the whole plant. How high up and how should we wrap or protect them? Same advice?
Same advice. I would just use chicken wire or hardware cloth and just make a big fence around the whole area so the rabbits can't get in. That will also keep out a lot of the voles and everything else. If you have deer, again, go up as far as you possibly can. If it's trees, go up to the first limb if you possibly can, depending upon how big your trees are. And now is a really great time to put that fencing in, to put your protection in, to put the white covers over the tree bark trees for the young trees if you have it. Remember to cut those things in half so that they're two half cylinders that you tape back together again. They're a lot easier to get on and off again. You can duct tape the color, coordinate the duct tape to your holiday decorations if you want. And also then consider protecting your things that come up early in the spring that the bunnies always get. Go ahead and put your chicken wire fencing around the lilies or the tulips or whatever you happen to have that the bunnies always get to, because they're out there 24/7. They know when those little things come up out of the ground, and they nibble them down before you ever see them.
This texter says this, Teresa, still fighting leaves falling from the trees. Welcome to the club. What their question is, what day this week in the Twin Cities would be best day for dormant seeding? Now,
I would say none. It's still too warm.
The
soil has not chilled down much at all.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. It's just the soil is just, if you start putting it down now and we get some warm weather, that could start, even though some of the grasses take 28 days to germinate, but some only take 3, and you start putting it down and we get warm weather, those 3-day germinations could come up, and it's just too warm yet. The university does have a great nice article on the Yard and Garden News about dormant seeding lawns and bee lawns. So I would definitely go in there, and they'll give you some really nitty-gritty information about, you know, you need to make sure that there's good seed-to-soil contact. You want to make sure that the ground's just about going into freezing or has frozen. And then all of that will help the seed over winter or seed just before we get that snowfall that's going to be the one that stays.
That website is so great. Whether you're a master gardener like Teresa or a beginning gardener, it's extension, great reading, extension.umn.edu. And we'll mention that again before the show is over. Here's an interesting question maybe you can respond to. Why is it that so many trees are still holding their foliage? I'm imagining it's for the same reason that the trees are shocked and somehow changed. Weather forecasters supposedly in the know said that with this year's drought conditions, we would have an early and quick color change and loss of leaves. I drive for a living, Texter says. Mm-hmm. And see a large portion of the West Metro area as well as travel up north. And what I'm witnessing is contradictive to those estimates. Can you comment on that?
And I will. Those comments are totally accurate. If we were going through a normal fall, if we would have gotten those heavy frosts, those killing frosts in mid to late September or even into mid-October, that's usually when we normally have our first or final frost, you know, That's the one that does do all the killing frost. We really haven't had that in the metro. I still have plants growing out there. The trees have neat indicators, and one of the indicators is the cold, the frosts, and that also helps to dry up some and stop some of the production. So then the leaves can senesce or fall off, and they break their little connection. But the trees haven't been giving that indication yet. That's why some of them are like, well, maybe I'll drop my leaves. And some of them are like, well, we're going to hold our leaves. And the oaks are saying, well, I'm going to hold my leaves till February anyway, no matter what happens. So that's why we're just seeing this really prolonged leaf drop. Nothing's happening because the temperatures have been so mild.
This listener bought a new magnolia tree from the U of M extension sale at the Arboretum, but wants to know, how do I protect it from winter rabbits, things like that?
That's a really good thing to do. Just make a little tunnel of hardware cloth or chicken wire and set it out around. If it's hardware cloth, you can do that within like 2 or 3 inches of the trunk. Chicken wire, I'd probably put it back a little bit further because sometimes bunnies can move that chicken wire closer and nibble on little bits and pieces. They still won't be able to girdle it. But that's a really good thing. Protect all your young trees that you've planted this year. You put a lot of time and effort into growing them and planting them and getting them through this drought. Let's protect them from the bunnies, too.
Here's the phone number. It's also the text number, whatever is easier for you to get in touch with Teresa, 651-461-9226. Can ground roses be cut off now?
I'm assuming they need the low-growing roses, the perennial shrub. I would wait until spring to trim those back, or at least wait until they've gone dormant and then do some trimming. If possible, leave your shrubs up for the winter as long as you can. It just gives them a little more protection. They can grab leaves, protect their crowns, and it gives your garden some winter interest, which we may or may not need depending upon snowfall this year.
Okay. By the way, the forecasters are saying by the end of the week, our daytime high is going to be near 38 with a chance of rain and snow. So we'll see what happens.
I did hear that we had a possibility of a storm coming in or some snow about 10 days out. So
we'll keep you posted for sure. This spring, Texter says, I planted a mini rose plant outside, which grew beautifully. Can I leave it outside over the winter? And if so, do I need to cover it?
I would definitely think about covering it. It's probably not winter hardy. If you can get some research done on what it is and what zone it is, it will tell you. If you're in the cities here and it's zone 4 or 3, that's okay. If it's a 5 or 6 or 7, that's not going to be hardy for a winter. And even a Minnesota tip method wouldn't help it. Even coning it wouldn't help it probably. So then I would pull it up. So you can research what the name of it was. And then go back and do some research and figure out what zone it is. That will give you an idea if you do want to. But probably those little ones, I grew little ones for a little while, and I would usually give them some extra protection once the ground started freezing.
Okay.
But they were zone 4 hardy.
Zone 4. All right. Hang on, Teresa. We need to take a break and look at that forecast. We'll see exactly, specifically, what this week is going to be bringing weather-wise. Again, don't forget to turn your clocks back 1 hour, fall back. You're going to get an extra hour of sleep overnight tonight. We'll be back with about another half hour of the Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text. It's the same number for whatever is easier for you to get in touch. 651-461-9226. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of them. You know, I was thinking, too, we mentioned a bit ago about one of the texters did about the Arboretum. What a beautiful weekend to get there with this weather.
It would be a great weekend to get out to the Arboretum and see the colors that are still out there and just get some nice fresh air and wander around. Look at what those trees look like when they've lost their leaves. And, you know, what does everything look like? And, hey, how does the Arboretum handle the winter stuff? Are they cutting everything back? Yeah, that would be some good information you could get out there. You know, during the break, Daddy, my mind wanders, and I was over at the university website, and I came upon an article for the top 10 flowers of the annual flower trial up in Morris. So if you're thinking of what could be cool for next year, you could look up and already be thinking about what to plant annual flowers for next year.
Ooh, and what's that called again on the website?
It's called Think 2022. Top 10 annual flowers, and it's in the Yard and Garden News.
Excellent.
Extension.umn.edu. So, see, I kind of wander. And
well, that's good. It's good information. Thank you for that. No, that's good.
I might and do that. Pretty pictures.
I think a lot of people will be doing that this afternoon, for sure. All right. Here's a text, Teresa. It says, I grew pumpkins this year. I had issues with little yellow bugs early in the season, then a gray bug later in the season. The gray bugs covered many pumpkins. What is that bug? How do I treat to prevent them?
Those sound like squash bugs. They're just nasty little things. Yeah, so what you can do is early in the season, before it starts to flower, you can cover up your squash plants with a floating row cover, and that prevents them from laying their eggs. Once the flowers start to come out, you do have to pull back that row cover because you have to let the bees pollinate. But then just keep looking under the leaves and you'll see little yellow eggs on there. You can just squish those little yellow eggs. If you want to wear gloves, you can do that. Otherwise, some of us master gardeners are pretty bloodthirsty. We just squish, squish, squish because we know what we're doing. And that's the easiest way to prevent them rather than trying to get them once they're there. That's the easiest way and fastest and cheapest way for you.
Okay. Very good.
Squash bugs.
Squash bugs. Yeah, literally
little gray bugs that get over everything. Mm-hmm. And they're not that little. They're kind of big.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They're not little. To me, they're kind of big.
Hmm. All right.
I mean, they're not the size of Godzilla or anything, so you don't have to...
They're not that bad.
They're not that bad.
But we've learned you master gardeners are tough. You get right in there.
You know, you think a gardener is just sweet, pert, kind, gentle person. Oh, no, we can be pretty rude.
Well, you're all of that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. I think Laura is calling in from Anoka this morning. Laura, thank you. What is your question, Laura, for Teresa Rooner?
In dormant seeding, if the ground is frozen, how do you get good seed-to-soil contact?
That's an excellent question. What is that lady talking about? She's insane. You just want to make sure that the seed is actually sitting on the soil. You can't really press it in because obviously the soil's frozen, but you want to make sure that the seed has as much contact with the soil as you possibly can, rather than, say, sitting on top of grass blades or something like that. If it's sitting on top of grass blades, it probably won't ever get down to the soil to start to germinate. And with the freezing and the thawing of the soil, that actually helps break up the seed coat and actually helps bring the seed down a little bit into the soil so it can get good contact, good roots growing. But if it's sitting in the air, it's not gonna work. So you just want it on the ground.
Okay. Here's one
that
says,
question.
My Boston ferns look absolutely beautiful this year. Any way I can overwinter them? Last year I tried cutting them back and watering once a month while keeping them in a dark area in my basement. That didn't work. Any other ideas? I really hate putting them in the mulch pile every year.
Oh, the Boston ferns are so beautiful. Grow them as a houseplant. We used to grow them as houseplants all the time before we would bring them out in the yards. They are, you know, tropical plants. So just clean off the pots really well. Get all the leaves and debris out of the soil. Give them a good shower before you bring them in. Clean the pots, all the little saucers and everything. Bring them into your house. Keep them segregated from the rest of your plants for about 2 weeks just to make sure no little critters and bugs came in. And then go ahead and put them in your dining room, your living room, bedrooms, wherever you have some nice light that'll come in. They don't need the brightest light in the world. They'll do okay with just a nice window light. They should be just fine. Grow them as a houseplant. And the website will have some good information about growing on Boston ferns.
Okay, extension.umn.edu.
Umn.edu, yeah.
Is this a good time for hydro seeding our drought-damaged lawns?
I would say you talk with the person you're going with the hydro seeding, who's ever going to do it. They'll be the best judge. I don't know all the chemicals and all the protection they use, all the little blue stuff that they use in there. I don't know how that responds. And if they can seed once it's so frozen cold on the ground, I'm assuming they will need to be doing dormant seeding also. So you'd want to wait a little bit till the ground's closer to being frozen.
Okay.
But check with your supplier. They will have the best recommendation, and then they have the where they guarantee it. And then if they do it wrong, they have to fix it.
Good point. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number for Teresa, 651-461-9226. Here's one that says, do you cut back Russian sage or leave standing over the winter? It gets covered by snowdrift, so there's no, quote, winter interest there.
Okay. You can go ahead and cut it back a little bit if you want. Once it's gone dormant, maybe cut it back to 16, 18 inches. That will give it a little height because lots of times it can survive it. Lots of times it'll die to the ground, but not always. Sometimes you can come back and those 16 to 18 inches may leaf out for you, so you can have even a more lush, beautiful plant going into the winter or into the summer next year. I always used to like it when I would be shoveling the snow and I'd throw it against the Russian sage and I could smell that sagey smell that it has, and just would take me back to summer, even though I'm dealing with a blizzard that's right there. So it was just kind of that juxtaposition. It was kind of fun. But go ahead. If it's going to be just covered by a snowbank, go ahead and cut it down by 16, 18 inches. If you need to cut it all the way to the ground, that's okay too, but do wait until it's gone dormant.
All right. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. I think Tina is calling in from Osseo this morning. Tina, good morning. You're on with Teresa.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is, my daughter had bought me an African violet, And I know, I don't know, my grandmother did a really good job growing them. But when she bought it for me, it seemed to die, but then came back. Mm-hmm. But now I'm seeing little white spots on the leaves. And I don't know if that's a fungus or what.
I'm guessing it could be an insect. It could be a fungus, but it could be an insect. I would try to see if it is the little insect, which just ran out of my mind. Oh, golly, I hate when this happens. But I would go to the Extension website and look at the African violets. We also do have a Minnesota African Violet Society page, so you want to look at their website, too. They would give you some good information. Remember always to not get the leaves wet. That will help. You feed it from, or you water from the bottom up, or water only on the soil. Never let it get waterlogged. Never let it get too dry. They don't need a super bright light. And yeah, our parents and grandparents grew African violets like weeds in our homes. So, mealybugs, that's the word I'm looking
mealybugs.
For. Mealybugs. It finally came to my brain. They came back into my brain now. So it could be mealybugs, or it could be some water spots, or a fungal. It would depend on what it looks like. If you can't find any good information, go ahead and take some good pictures. Go to extension.um and .edu. And look down and find the Ask a Master Gardener connection. And then you can send a master gardener some really good pictures, two or three really good pictures, and they'll be able to help diagnose it or at least point you in the right direction for some more resources.
All right, very good.
Good luck with that, Tina.
Teresa, this texter says they have 36-inch spruce trees in their nursery containers that I haven't had time to plant. Should I just mulch the containers or berm around them with soil till next year?
Yep, you could do that. Go ahead, do that really well. Give them a good berm, good soil. Make sure you water them really well. What you want to do is create enough biomass so that the plants and everything think they're in the soil, and then that soil can hold the frost rather than thawing out with the winter sunshine that we get. So you want to cover up the pots as much as you can, and then do protect them also, because bunnies and I think deer may or may not eat the spruces, so you don't want anybody nipping those off.
Okay. For flowers, this texter says, Teresa, like zinnias and marigolds that are thriving on the plants and won't dry, how can one obtain some seeds from those flowers?
Mother Nature is Mother Nature. You just got to go with what she's doing. So you'll have to wait until the flowers actually develop those seeds and that the seeds are ripe enough so that you can harvest them. If they get frost killed before they go to seed, that's not going to help you. If you harvest seeds that are too green, they aren't mature enough, and they will not germinate for you either. So you just need to let Mother Nature do what Mother Nature is doing, and maybe go out there, and this is not university-sponsored. Talk to the plants and tell them what you need to let Mother Nature do what Mother Nature is doing, and maybe go out there, and this is not university-sponsored. Talk to the plants and tell them what you want. This is not university-sponsored. But you can. I always think it helps a little bit, but that's just me, not university. But yeah, there's nothing you can do to speed up the germination or the production of seeds. It just depends on what the plant is doing in relation to the weather. So just have to hope for the best. Good luck with that.
Teresa, hang on. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. 45 degrees now in the Twin Cities, heading for near 65 here in the Twin Cities. Again, don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour as we lose daylight saving time overnight tonight. 45 in the Twin Cities right now. Get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis in next hour. And then the 10 o'clock hour, Dr. Gene Geske will be answering your questions. Ask the veterinarian in the 10 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking, as usual, lawns and gardens with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of questions, both by phone and by text. So let's get back to it. Susan, I think, is calling in from Bloomington this morning. Susan, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Oh, thank you. I had one morning I woke up and all the deer had actually eaten all of my geraniums. They'd bitten off all the flowers. And so I'd never had that problem before with the deer. But so I went and bought some spray and sprayed all my geraniums. And after that, the leaves were fine, but and the blooms would come up, but they would never blossom. They just would die. I have no idea. I just was so puzzled as to why they would never bloom again after I sprayed them, because this was supposedly spray that was safe.
It probably wasn't the spray, I'm guessing. Just as long as it was okay to use on geraniums and it was a deer repellent. That shouldn't have had anything to do with the future blooms because they would be coming up past that. You could have had a little insect in there, a little bug. Easy for me to say. Anyway, they get inside and they eat all the good stuff before it comes out. So that could have been something that just happened at that time. It was just a one-time thing. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, Susan. It shouldn't happen next year. But you can always spray your area first. Spray the pots sometimes helps. And then the deer are just repelled by the smell on the pots. And you don't even have to worry then about getting anything on the plants if that's a fear or a concern of yours. But it shouldn't have impacted the plants themselves.
Okay.
As long as it said you could spray it on plants.
This texter says this, Teresa. A landscaper put down grass seed 3 weeks ago, big area, 1 inch high now. Will it make it or should I clear the leaves and overseed? Also, should we keep watering till everything freezes?
Good questions. All right. So go ahead, keep watering. Do get those leaves off. You're going to have to either carefully rake. I don't know if a lawnmower would work. It may pull that grass right out of the ground. I don't know if it's hard enough or if it's rooted in there enough. So do try to get the leaves off as much as you can. But do keep watering until the ground is frozen. Not water constantly, but you want to think that the plants need about an inch or so of water a week. Maybe a little less this time of year because they're not as actively transpiring with their leaves. But you want to keep the soil so that the little roots can keep growing and can keep getting grass big. And then do keep the leaves off as much as possible because you want those little seedlings to see as much sunlight as possible so they can photosynthesize as much as they can.
Okay.
Good luck with your new lawn.
This texter says this, Teresa. I planted some miniature roses in our garden this past spring. Can you tell me how to prepare them for winter? Should they be cut back or covered with styrofoam cones?
If the roses are zone 4 hardy, I would possibly cover them with the styrofoam cones. Make sure you take the lids off of the styrofoam cones. Fill them up with leaves. The styrofoam can hold a lot of heat in the winter, and you need that top open so that the heat can escape. Otherwise, it can get 80, 90 degrees in there in our winter sun, believe it or not, and it can burn the plants. It can cause them to come out of dormancy, then they start growing, and then it gets too cold. Otherwise, the paper mache cones work a little bit better sometimes, and I think they have holes in them. They don't hold as much heat. Or just cover them with bags of leaves that are loosely filled, so only fill it maybe halfway so they're kind of floppy. Once the ground starts to freeze or has frozen, just plop the bag of leaves over that, and then your leaves are contained, and you can just pull it back, those leaves back in the spring when they come out of dormancy. Can keep the leaves there in case there's going to be a heavy frost or a hailstorm. You can also then turn those leaves into your compost in the summertime next year or use them as a mulch in your garden or let them become leaf mold.
Teresa, a couple of questions about trimming oaks now. Is this a good time? I know in the dead of winter is the best, but, you know, not with 65 degrees, I presume.
Yeah, not, I would say not with 65. I would not be touching oaks or elms or even my fruit trees, you know. And if you have to, if there's some branch that you just have to remove, you do the cut as you're supposed to do, and then I would probably put down a wound sealer on that one, and you can find those in the garden centers, a pruner sealer. I would put that on, and you only have like 15 minutes because insects could be attracted to that area, and then they could bring oak wilt into your tree. So, you know, consider, is it just because of an aesthetic reason? Do you want to take the chance to kill your tree with oak wilt? Or can you wait till the winter time and then do it out there when the ground has frozen and there's no chance of insects?
Okay.
January, February is much better for that.
Very good. How do I overwinter my geraniums is the next question.
Oh, the university has some great information on that, extension.umn.edu. But you have some options. Cut it back, bring it in the house, treat it as a houseplant. Just pull it out of the pot, shake off some of the soil, throw it in a paper bag and put it in a cool basement. Check on it once a month. Make sure it's not moldy. Make sure it's not too dry. It'll be just kind of dormant then. You can also just cut it back in the pot and put it in a cool, dark place and maybe give it a little bit of water, a little bit over the winter time, just to keep the roots alive. And by cool, I mean like 40 degrees. So if your basement downstairs is finished and you keep it at toasty 70, that's not going to work. So you need something a little cooler than that. But you have a lot of options to do it. Or you can even just take a cutting, some cuttings off of your geraniums and root them out and start them as small houseplants so you don't have such a big plant to deal with. But if you save your big plant, you'll have a bigger plant next year to start with. A
couple of minutes to go, Teresa, and I've never seen this before. We have three almost identical text questions. They all ask, well, let me do this other one first. Can I still aerate my lawn?
Sure.
I would think this week could be a good week,
yep.
Maybe the final one.
Yep.
And what about dormant seeding? Explain, if you would, if this is a good time, maybe a good week to do that. We have 2 minutes.
Okay. Dormant seeding, what you want to do is you want to put the seed down, but you don't want it to germinate. So if the ground's still warm or not frozen, that could possibly germinate. So that's what you want to do. You want to cut your grass a little bit short, wait till the ground's frozen or nearly frozen, then put your dormant seed down, and then I'd probably tap it down with a rake or your feet to make sure that seed is really in good contact with the soil. It should be on nice damp soil when it's going in or just before a winter storm. You know, those heavy snows that we're going to get where, you know, this is the snow that's going to start it all. Nothing else is going to grow after this. So you can dormant seed just then, too. That would be good. And the snow will keep it covered from the birds. If you put it down too early, the migrating birds will eat it. The mice will eat it. The vole, everybody will eat it. And also it could germinate and it could die. So just that's dormant seeding, and we have some good information on the website, extension.umn.edu.
We're just going to ask you that, extension.umn.edu. Very good. Teresa, always a pleasure. Thanks for your help so much, and we'll talk soon, huh?
We'll talk soon. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you very much. Master
Bye-bye.
Gardener Teresa Rooney here on 830 WCCO. Now, coming up next hour, as I mentioned a bit ago, get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction will be joining us back after a couple of weeks of absence. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, if you have pets at home and you've always wanted to ask a veterinarian this question or that question, we're going to let you do that very thing. Dr. Gene Geske, our friend and who's helped us out here on CCO for many years, is going to be joining us in the 10 o'clock hour, answering your questions by phone and by text about your pets. So get those questions ready for the 10 o'clock hour. In the meantime, get the home improvement questions ready. Sunshine today, highs both today and tomorrow are going to be near 65, maybe 58 by Monday, maybe a chance of showers, Veterans Day, and then Friday. Hope you enjoy the weekend. We'll get up to maybe 38 degrees. Right now, here in the Twin Cities, southwest winds at 80% humidity, fair skies and 45 degrees.